So in this context now, we got all this oil built up. Now we got to talk about drugs. If you think about it, oil and drugs have gone hand in hand on almost every major covert paramilitary operation of the U.S. government going back to the Vietnam War. It certainly happened in Iran-Contra. It's a big issue in Colombia, which will be, unfortunately, a stop that we go to in this war that will not end in our lifetimes, according to Dick Cheney. So we have to talk about drugs. Did you know that drugs put about $600, $650, maybe $700 billion a year in liquid cash into the world banking system? You say, okay, fine. What does that mean? Drugs are the financial equivalent of what steroids are to a Major League Baseball player. Drug money is the same power giver. Whoever controls it controls the world economy. You have to understand a little bit about drug cash and how it works. First of all, let me just give you a clue. $600 billion is too big to put under a pillow. You can't put it in a mattress. Matter of fact, most of the world's national economies, it's too big to put in those. Only very large economies can absorb a flow of $600 billion, and there's very good reasons why those countries who are powerful, and of course we are the only superpower, would fight to make sure that they get control of it. I hope you got your seatbelt on here, especially if you own stock. First of all, we know, thanks to Senator Carl Levin, who issued a report in January of 2001, that at least $500 billion in liquid cash gets laundered through this country, that's the banking system and the stock market, every year, through correspondent banks. That's a conservative estimate on my part, because the total flow of criminal money includes more than just drug money, which also includes weapon smuggling, prostitution, human smuggling, counterfeiting, and all the other things that take place. But we know, thanks to the IMF, that there's $1.7 trillion a year total in criminal money, cash money, that gets moved secretly through the world banking system. And this is what the steroid effect is. Now, we know, because it's been documented, that banks like Citibank, J.P. Morgan, Chase, Bank of America, they have all been documented as having laundered large quantities of drug money. In the simplest form, bear in mind that any bank, for every dollar it has on deposit, depending upon its reserve requirements set by the Federal Reserve, can loan or lend between $9 and $15 or $20 based upon its reserve requirements. Now, what happens when they make $20 in loans based upon $1 of drug money in the bank? Those $20 of loans show up on the balance sheets as assets, which get book value, which help determine the bank's stock value and its profitability. Now, the drug money doesn't always show up. And so sometimes, or quite often, it gets put onto the company's net profits. Now, if you own stock, you'll understand what a price-to-earnings ratio is. And a price-to-earnings ratio is not difficult at all. It's very, very simple. To determine a price-to-earnings ratio, it's simply a fraction. The top half of the fraction is market capitalization. The bottom half of the fraction is net profits. What's market capitalization? Market capitalization is, if I own a company that has 10,000 shares of stock, and each share of stock is selling for $10, the market capitalization is $100,000. It is simply the share price times the total number of shares in the marketplace. Net profits is the total gross revenues of the company minus the cost of doing business. That's your net profit. So, for example, if I have a company which has a $300 million market capitalization, and I have $10 million in net profits, my price-to-earnings ratio is 30 to 1. Now, most reasonable market analysts will look at a market and say that a healthy price-to-earnings ratio is 15 to 1. And yet we see in this pre-crash or this crashing market in the summer of 2002, companies like Cisco Systems with price-to-earnings of 90 to 1. Enron had a price-to-earnings of 60 to 1. GE, I think, was about 45. Wildly overpriced and not healthy, no matter what they tell you. And we'll get to what the media does and doesn't do here shortly. No matter what they tell you, that's way overpriced. Let's just take a strict mathematical approach to this. If you have a fraction, a ratio of 30 over 1, if you make the bottom number a 2, then the top number has to become 60. That's how you keep the relationship. So, stated that way, if you add a dollar of drug profits onto the bottom line, you create 30 extra dollars in stock value on the top line. Now, this doesn't happen automatically. What happens is These market analysts will look at a stock and look at the price to earnings, and they'll see that the net profits are going up, and they'll say, this company is underpriced, and I'll put out a buy, and that will drive the stock price up. Catherine Austin Fitz, who is a very dear friend, and she's been my economic mentor, is a former assistant secretary of housing. She's also a former managing director of the Wall Street Investment Bank, Dillon Reed. She's got an MBA from Wharton, and to me, she is an economic Michelangelo, and she and I have been colleagues for a number of years now. She says, this is the way it works. It's called the pop. Now, if companies can sneak drug money onto their bottom lines, in other words, without attaching any cost to that, just inflating their profits, which is what all these cookbook scandals are about, not just drug money, but they were doing it any way they could. Drug money is a prized commodity here. Enron, with a price to earnings of 60-1, Enron could have increased their stock value by putting, let's say, $10 million in drug money into their net profits. They could have generated $600 million in stock value. Then, of course, we noticed that all those crooks from all the companies that are now starting to be disclosed pumped their stock prices up, sold the stock, pocketed the money, walked away, and left your pension fund holding the bag. Now, is there any evidence that Enron did such a thing with drug money? Yeah, there certainly is. Enron had 300 subsidiaries in the Cayman Islands. I don't want to surprise you, but there's no oil and gas in the Cayman Islands. Never has been. Enron had thousands of subsidiaries, as a matter of fact, around the globe, and they were the largest money laundering operation in world history. But how ubiquitous is drug money in the stock market? Lowell Bergman of the Public Broadcasting System, he did an okay series in 2000 about the war on drugs. He disclosed that in June of 2000, a group of companies got called in to meet with the Attorney General, Janet Reno, not one of my favorite people, and the Deputy Secretary of the Treasury, Stuart Eisenstadt. And they were called in for laundering drug money. Well, actually, they weren't called in for laundering drug money. They were called in for laundering too much drug money. And who are the companies? Hewlett-Packard, Ford, Sony, General Motors, Whirlpool, General Electric, and Philip Morris. Those are big companies. By the way, in case you didn't know, General Electric owns NBC. And you wonder why they might not be inclined to tell you the full truth about that. Now, you know, I hope, that if you or I walk into a bank with $10,001 in cash, the teller has to fill out a form that says that we might be money launderers. But according to the Banking Secrecy Act, which created an entity called FinCEN, the Financial Criminal Enforcement Network, in 1996, there are certain classes of persons who are exempt from having to report dealing in large, very large quantities of cash. And one of those is a, quote, listed entity other than a bank whose common stock or analogous equity interests are listed on the New York Stock Exchange or American Stock Exchange or are designated as a NASDAQ national market security, which literally means that if you trade your stock on Wall Street, you can drive a ship full of cash up to the bank and deposit it, and nobody can ask you any questions about it. You're exempt. Now, in connection with all of that, before I give you like a major surprise adding to your map of September the 11th, we learned in the course of the Enron investigation that one of the reasons why they and now 18 or 19 companies, you can do the list yourself, Tyco, Merck, Johnson & Johnson, WorldCom, I mean, there's 18 companies now that have been exposed, probably 20 or 25. We have not yet reached the point of August 14th, 2002, which could be one of the blackest days in corporate history because that's the deadline that George Bush has set, or the Bush administration has set, for all corporations to restate their earnings if they have misstated them in order to avoid criminal prosecution. And I'll bet you there's going to be a stampede on August the 14th, and we may see another loss in stockholder equity on the order of trillions of dollars on that day.